Serial Entrepreneur.
Hello, and welcome back to the Serial Entrepreneur podcast, brought to you by Startups Magazine. As we are now into our third series, Review and Roadmap, we are taking a look back at the year to see how it's affected different areas of the startup world and what changes we actually may see because of that. Today's episode is a really interesting one, actually. It's all about company culture and employee mental health and well-being, all areas that fall under the company culture umbrella. And for that, my lovely guest today is the Matthew Carlton, founder of Shine Workplace Wellbeing. Matthew, thank you so much for joining me today. It's a pleasure to have you on. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks, Anna. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you here. As it's the Serial Entrepreneur podcast, we ask everyone, what is your favourite breakfast cereal and why?
This is a tough question because, do you know what? I've not ate breakfast cereals for a while. I tend to have a bit of toast and fruit in the morning these days. So it's made me think, and I'm going to go for Special K. And I've actually had a little bit of a craving for Special K after thinking about the answer to this question. So I might treat myself at Christmas to some Special K.
Special K, that's a really interesting one. I'm not sure anyone's answered that so far.
Yeah, I'm assuming they still make it. I remember it was my breakfast cereal of choice, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago. But I've not come across it for a while. So I'll have a look next time I'm in the supermarket.
The Special K diet, wasn't it like drop a dress size in 2 weeks or something?
It was. Ladies in red dresses. Maybe that's what attracted me to it at the time.
Well, let's not sit here and dwell on breakfast cereal all day. Now, before we get into the deep questions for today, I obviously gave you a tiny little intro, but please tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Shine Workplace Wellbeing.
So, yes, I'm Matthew Carlton from Shine Workplace Wellbeing, the founder of Shine, which is an employee wellbeing consultancy. We've been going now for about 2.5 to 3/4 years. And in that period of time, we've worked with quite a number of businesses, different sizes, different sectors, with the objective of improving the health and happiness of their employees. And that could be through, you know, a one-off workshop around mental health awareness training for managers, right through to an ongoing program where we manage a series of events and activities and initiatives for the staff. And it can be pretty wide ranging in terms of what that involves. So before then, my background was marketing. I decided on having a career change sort of 3-4 years ago. I was always interested in well-being and fitness, and I was looking at, you know, different ways in which I could utilize my business knowledge but also my interest in health and well-being, and came to the conclusion that a small startup business specializing in employee well-being was what I wanted to do with my career. So Shine was born, as I say, two and three quarter years ago. And it's gone reasonably well since it all started.
It definitely is. It's been great to connect with you and see what you and the business do. And I love the name as well, Shine. Great name. And obviously well-being, employee well-being is a big focus right now. I mean, it's always a big focus, but especially in the current times. And it's been quite an interesting year for everyone. So first of all, I just wanted to ask you personally how you found the year and how you've managed to cope with lockdown.
Yeah, so it's been a very challenging year for me in a lot of ways. And I know you're a little bit aware of this from our work together. So unfortunately, last December, I actually got diagnosed with stage 3 bowel cancer. And so I've spent a lot of the year having treatment for that and a lot of chemotherapy, actually, at the height of the first lockdown. So that made that period pretty challenging. So there was, you know, juggling the general lockdown. And I've got 2 young boys, so some of the homeschooling, managing a small business or running a small business, a startup business. You know, all the strains and I suppose struggles of general lockdown with that also to contend with. So that was a very difficult time, but we managed to get through it as a family and as a business pretty well. And on the positive side of things, you know, subsequently the treatment has been quite successful, and currently, you know, my health is, you know, really good, positive. It's treatment and sort of monitoring is ongoing, but in terms of the cancer, you know, I'm in a very good, healthy position with that now. So, yeah, to answer your question, coped quite well, I think, with lockdown, all things considered. I probably won't have many more periods as challenging as that. So I've learned a lot from that time. So I can look back now and be quite grateful for that experience to a large extent.
It's really nice to hear like your positive attitude towards it all. Like you say, you kind of threw every challenge in the last lockdown. So lockdown part two seems like quite a breeze for you.
It does actually, quite like in this one. I wasn't too bothered, you know, when I heard the news that we were going back into it. It's nice to have this lockdown period feeling pretty good and be able to, you know, exercise and get outside a lot more than last time.
You seem like a perfect example. Like, if you can get through it, then anyone can get through what they're going through. So yeah, it's great to hear that story. How do you think, you know, you work with businesses, you work with startups, you're a startup yourself. How do you think the pandemic and lockdown has affected startups and small businesses and, you know, like the company culture within that?
I think obviously it had a pretty negative impact back in March and April when we went into lockdown. And I think in terms of company culture, it was difficult and strained in a lot of cases. And that's across the board, not necessarily just with startups. I think, you know, even large organizations as well, established organizations. I think just because it was a frightening time and a hard time for a lot of people. And we went into survival mode, you know, as people, as businesses, as a nation collectively. So if you look back to that period, I mean, I know we're still in a difficult period, but then it was, we never experienced anything like that. Staff were losing jobs or staff were getting furloughed. Growth plans, you know, particularly in startups that have been booming, they were shelved. We just didn't know what to expect, and we still don't to a large extent. It was just a huge shock to the system, more so back then. Industries were rocked, you know, companies have gone out of business. And so in some cases, I think culture was largely forgotten. And I think you can understand why, you know, priorities shifted, as I say, going into survival mode during that time. I think after a while, though, when we came to terms with the situation, we then saw business culture develop in a lot of startups, a lot of businesses that we worked with, and just in general as well. And in some cases that it really blossomed, and that sense of community that I think in the first lockdown we saw nationwide, we also saw coming through and emerging within businesses and some initiatives that they were running in order to keep morale up, and in all those, well, in some cases to ensure that people were prioritising and had that right balance in their lives, because for a lot of people, there was a lot of juggling going on, shielding, homeschooling, and just to allow people that flexibility to get on with their work, you know, as suited them at times. And that certainly emerged. And I think that helped strengthen a lot of bonds between businesses and their employees, which in turn, you know, really does wonders for staff culture and company culture.
Definitely. And how did you guys adapt? Were you working in an office before and then had to shift to the working from home? And how did you manage keeping the company culture up within your business?
So it's an interesting one, because actually, just going back quickly to my diagnosis, which came at the end of last year. So we'd, because of that, shelved a couple of growth plans. You know, we had looked at our growth at the end of last year and we're bringing on a couple of extra members of staff and looking at new office premises. And we shelved those while it was, you know, a difficult period for myself. And that just sort of carried on during that lockdown period. We were working from home. And what we were trying to do really as a business then was just to stay relevant, to adapt our offering quite quickly for our clients. And as I say, businesses went into that survival mode. So plans around employee wellbeing did change. You know, seminars, in-person meetings, training that we had lined up, you know, was put on hold for a while. So we adapted our output during that time to provide a service for businesses that had shifted into working from home. So just trying to offer, you know, webinars and advice for those businesses, to give them a little bit of a helping hand at that difficult period. So we did our best, I think, to help other businesses. And as I say, we were sort of in that position of transition because of other factors at the height of the first lockdown.
Definitely. And it's obviously good that you could transition and, you know, in a sense, maybe you not saw it coming, but you were kind of half prepared for it. And I think that's one good thing about startups, that they are a little bit more resilient and they, you know, they face challenges and hurdles all the time. So it was just another bigger challenge for them to overcome. And we see that with obviously Shine. We obviously hear a lot about, you know, lockdown affecting people's mental health. I know me and you have spoke about this quite a lot on previous events and webinars, but what advice would you have to people who may be struggling right now and, you know, have seen this pandemic take a toll on their mental health?
If I could offer one piece of advice to people right now, if anyone is struggling, it's actually to get outside. The one big difference between this lockdown and the last one is, well, there's a lot of differences, but one of the big differences is daylight, and now we just have less daylight. The last one was obviously during spring coming into summer. So it's just so important, I think, now for people to get outside, and I don't necessarily mean exercise, but just, you know, getting out, taking in some, you know, daylight, soaking up the surroundings, perhaps going for a walk, exercise if possible. But the benefits that getting outside can provide just for your mental stimulation, your mental health, your sleep patterns, generally how you feel about the world, it has a huge positive impact. So that'd be like the one piece of advice. But there's one thing for people to take to this. It's just try and get outside as much as possible and be creative in the ways you can do that. So things like, I think we'll come on to it a bit later on perhaps, but just mimicking a commute. So if you are working from home, before you switch from home and family mode into work mode, just having, you know, maybe it's just a 10-minute walk outside around the block to the park and back, longer if you can, just to, let's say, get outside, be a bit active, and just set yourself up for the day, really. And a lot of the advice that we provide for companies, you know, isn't, you know, so advanced, or, you know, as part of our webinars, you know, a lot of it is about getting back to basics, but just building in those kind of habits. And that's why I say getting outside. You know, it sounds so obvious, but a lot of people still aren't not reluctant to do it, but just need to just shoehorn it in a little more. And, you know, to make that point really about getting back to basics, yesterday we were working on a stress awareness, or delivering a stress awareness workshop for a tech firm, and there was about 20 or so members of staff in this webinar, and we closed it using an example, and I can share the link with you, from Barack Obama when he was in office being asked how he copes with the stress of the job. So this is, you know, at the time the most powerful, important man in the world with a pretty stressful job, and the two sort of, or three things he talked about were getting outside, exercising every day, being quite consistent and religious about it, and family time, and also having his, what he called North Stars, his goals that, you know, he followed or was aware of and constantly striving to meet, and just really sort of basic things. It's, again, it's nothing advanced, but yet this is, you know, as I say, the most powerful man in the world just sticking to these things to help him deal with stress, and it's something that I think we can all learn from and all take. So hopefully in a long-winded way, I answered that question.
Definitely. And I've heard, obviously, people say, you know, get outside and that's really good for you. But I've never had anyone suggest the mimicking the commute. Like, that's a really interesting point. And the more I think about it now, if I go for a run in the morning, I hate it whilst I'm doing it. But then I feel so much better for the rest of the day compared to if I don't go outside in the morning. So, yeah, that's a really interesting tip that I will be taking on myself. Are you feeling frustrated and stressed with the current news cycle? Then you will want to tune in and catch Savvy Business Radio. SavvyBusinessRadio.com is a podcast devoted to helping businesses and individuals flourish and grow to their full potential. Some of the phenomenal experts include Tosca Renault, Canada's leading health expert, best-selling author, columnist and motivational speaker, Chelsea Abingdon-Welsh, pilot, TV star and CEO of the Bingdon Company, and Ben Swan, two-time Emmy award-winning investigative reporter. And that's just to name a few. Obviously, we talk about, you know, mental health and people struggling, but has, you know, 2020, the pandemic, the lockdown, has it affected people's mental health in a positive way at all, do you think?
I think it has, yeah. You know, so there's a lot of there's a lot of stats around about the negative impact it's had on people's mental health. And I guess that's probably, unfortunately, the world we live in, it's an easier topic to cover, or, you know, it'll grab people's attention. But, you know, I would love to find out how it's improved people's resilience, how it's improved people's creativity, because I think we've seen, working with businesses, examples of this. It's been such a tough time for people for so many different reasons. So people who have got through it or are getting through it, there's no doubt that it's going to improve their resilience, because we probably won't live through another period of time like this in our lifetimes, or we certainly hope we don't. And we've had to see, especially in startup communities, businesses adapting, businesses being more creative. So I think it has had some positive impacts on people's mental health. And I think as well, in looking at mental health broadly, I think it's made people aware that it's not something that exists in isolation. Perhaps prior to the pandemic, you know, people still did see mental health as, or for the wrong reasons, or when they heard that term, you know, thought of it as being something quite negative, having negative connotations, associating it with illness and poor mental health. So I think we've talked about it already, you know, this emphasis on exercise and getting outdoors. So many people are talking about this now and saying, you know, striving to do this every day. They're aware of the things that are making them satisfied and happy, and that they need to do them more so now, just in order to keep them, you know, mentally healthy and stimulated. So I think in that sense, the pandemic's accelerated the conversation around mental health. In some cases, made us more comfortable talking about it, and we're more aware that we are on a spectrum. We all have mental health, and that we don't necessarily now just associate mental health with problems. So I think, yeah, to expand a little bit on your question, you know, that's a real positive that's come out about mental health during this time.
Yeah, I remember us talking before, and you interestingly said, like, you know, when people say mental health, it's not ill mental health. Like, we can talk about mental health and it being like people having happy and healthy mental health, as well as obviously talking about people that are struggling and that are suffering. It's good to talk about both. And when you say mental health, it just doesn't automatically mean that you are suffering. So yeah, that stayed with me, and that's a really interesting point too. And we've mentioned it briefly, but the whole shift of working from home, I mean, the whole world had to do it back in March, pretty much, and some people are doing it again now with lockdown part two. But has that made it harder for, you know, employees and businesses to spot signs and keep track on their employees' mental health and their well-being and, you know, this morale within the business?
It has made it hard. I think one thing that you've perhaps seen a bit more of now is presenteeism. So we were more aware of it in pre-lockdown times, you know, when people came to work and they were clearly, you know, suffering a little bit, you know, either physically or mentally, and not really quite up to coming into work. Whereas it's probably a bit easier now with people working from home just to log on, even though they are not quite at full capacity for whatever reason, or sorry, full capability, really to do their job. So it has been difficult in that sense. There are some good initiatives that businesses are introducing in order just to keep aware of how their staff are doing. I think pulse surveys are a good thing. Sometimes they can be anonymous as well, because it just helps people be a bit more open and honest about how they're feeling. But, you know, that general empathy piece, I think, has, or we've seen more interest in that as one of our services, and businesses are appreciating the need, especially around managers, to manage with empathy, to try and understand their staff a little bit more, to understand their challenges, their situations, and to be able to approach situations differently. So I think, you know, there's been a shift in terms of businesses being more caring during this time. And that's particularly grown in the last few months, when we've seen that we are in this for the medium term. So I think there's been a shift for businesses to pay more attention to the needs of their staff and adapt working practices to help and accommodate, you know, how people are struggling during this time.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And, you know, like we've said, the shift of people that have having to work from home may not be used to it, although it is quite common in today's day and age. But what tips do you have for people that have shifted to a remote setting that may not be enjoying it as much as others? Or yeah, do you have any tips when it comes to like getting the best of your situation and your well-being when working from home?
Oh, how long have you got? We got tips on this one. Yeah, we've done quite a bit of work on boosting your mental health and well-being while working from home. It's been quite a popular workshop or webinar that we've been offering. So repeat myself again, you know, getting outside, exercising is obviously a big one. And back to that commute, we talked about it for the start of the day. Also, perhaps introduce that at the end of the day, you know, that sort of finishing ritual, you know, maybe again, it's going for a walk just to signal to, you know, your brain that you're ending the day. And even though you're in the same sort of physical environment with your home and your working life, that you're just making that distinction between the two. And you're actually switching off at that point. You know, again, it's so easy. We're in this connected 24/7 world, which is obviously had a huge impact on our stress levels over the recent years. And it's probably now even easier to stay connected with this blurring of home and work life. So people have just got to try that bit harder, as I say, that once they've ended that working day, hopefully with a finishing ritual, to switch off, you know, to actually leave the phone, you know, in another room for a while, not be tempted to check in on emails, to say, you know, I'm done for the day, and, you know, have that sort of refresh, reset in an evening, so you are more equipped to go again the next working day. So there's definitely got to be more boundaries set by people and help from companies in order for people to do that in various different ways in which they can. One thing that people have found very exhausting, and, you know, we talked and it's been talked about a lot, is Zoom fatigue. But there are things you can do in order to avoid Zoom fatigue. So one little example is to turn off self-view. So unfortunately, you know, people will spend hours on Zoom meetings each day. It seems to have become, you know, the fashionable thing to do. And if you are finding yourself in a lot of Zoom meetings, then you might find yourself quite exhausted, because inevitably you have a tendency to look at yourself and how you're appearing and how you're coming across. And people have compared this to going into an old style meeting room, like a conference room, with a mirror and constantly looking at yourself while talking to other people. And that isn't something that, you know, we would have done back in the pre-COVID times. So if you can remove that self-view, really simple to do, it stops you from looking at yourself for a lot of the meeting, and people are finding they're feeling much more refreshed when they do that, because it just is quite exhausting to try and concentrate on what's being said, but also, you know, having the occasional glances at yourself. So we really encourage people to do that. And if you can avoid excessive Zoom calls, you know, if you don't have to be on a video call, then, you know, turn down the offer of a video call and suggest perhaps that you just have an old traditional phone call. You know, it's worked for us for decades, so we don't have to all default now to Zoom. And on top of that, if you can do this, you know, have a walk and talk, you know, get outside, put a headset on. If you've got a garden, you know, walk up and down the garden while you're chatting to somebody, or again, you know, take a little stroll around the block. It can be, of course, tricky if you need to take a lot of notes, but if possible, you know, just try and get outside, get more active while taking those kind of calls. So that's just a couple of many tips that, you know, we can offer around boosting your health and well-being while working from home or remotely.
And I'm sure there's plenty more on the Shine Workplace Wellbeing website, so we will put a link in. And also, if you are sick of your camera, just say, oh, sorry, my camera's not working today.
Yeah, that is enough, a good call.
No, I'm joking. Don't lie to your employees. Talking about company culture, going forward into 2021, I mean, we are hoping that there may be some more normality. I don't want to say life will be normal, but there will be some more normality. Do you think that, like, company culture and working from home, we'll see a big difference even when things start to get back to normal a bit more? Will people still continue to work from home? Will company culture be affected? What changes do you think we may see?
I think we're going to see a balance between the two, hopefully, once things become, you know, a bit more normal, and hopefully that's not too far off given the positive news about a vaccine. From people we've spoken to, it shifted a lot in terms of opinions around working from home. I think at first everyone enjoyed it, the novelty, and people thought that they wanted that to, or a lot of people were of the opinion that they'd like this to continue longer term. But now we just see that people are missing the community, missing the connection with their colleagues. People are feeling lonely and isolated. People just sort of fed up of seeing their own four walls of their houses. So I think there's going to be a balance. It's obviously going to vary from company to company, whether the old sort of style offices will evolve and we'll see, you know, businesses coming together a couple of times a week or a month. I think a lot of startups might be tempted to do that. I think that's something that will do, you know, a couple of days, maybe a week in the office. We actually were starting to do a day a week in the office, so around September time. And the rest of the time at home, obviously we were then encouraged to work from home. So I think from our business, that's the direction we're heading. And I think that's going to be the case with a lot of other sort of startups and smaller, more nimble businesses that perhaps aren't tied into long-term leases or contracts on offices. In terms of then the culture of businesses, we are seeing that, I think, you know, we covered it earlier, that businesses are more aware than ever now of the importance of culture, and that is very heavily linked to employee well-being. So I think how this may develop is, or how companies can excel here, is just showing your staff that you care and not really forcing it. If businesses try and force through a culture, then I think that can cause problems. I think we even saw that at times in lockdown. And so I think it's very important with well-being or culture to have conversations around it, to speak to staff about what they want and grow that from the bottom up rather than from the top down. I think when it comes from the top down, it's quite easy to get it wrong.
Definitely. It's like, you know, what you're saying is it's a group thing. You know, it's not all on the employer to be like, you know, let's do X, Y and Z. But at the same time, it's probably not all on the staff. It's like coming together to benefit everyone. And thinking that, why, I mean, this may sound like a really obvious question, but, you know, you are the expert, so I'm going to ask you, but why is having a positive company culture beneficial for both the employer and the employee?
Right, in really simple terms, it just makes people want to do the jobs and really, you know, flourish in the jobs and with pride. It creates that sense of community and teamwork where goals and values are shared. There's just that greater bond, I think, between the employee and the employer. And then that evolves, that develops, and you see motivation levels increasing and discretionary effort of staff rising, which does wonders for a company's productivity and efficiency. And then it's just really a halo effect, I feel, for when a company has a positive culture. I think if you get it right, it radiates out from the company and draws clients and customers into your brand, you know, and you'll hopefully, you know, do more business as a result in it, results of it. So I think it's really worth giving considerable thought, investment, and that doesn't always need to be financial investment, but just some time investment, and for it to be considered. And as I say, to have those conversations around, you know, an ideal culture or looking after your staff, and the benefits can be vast.
And do you think, sorry, a little bonus question now, but do you think that this year, the pandemic, the lockdown has made both business owners and employees see how important this company culture is and like looking out for people? Has it made it even more obvious? Has it brought company culture to the top a little bit more?
Yeah, I think it has. Again, I think it's another thing that's accelerated during this time. I think employees have looked for more leadership at this time. So having that culture, that supportive culture, knowing that your business cares about you and your well-being has been accelerated, and, you know, more people are talking about it. And I think longer term, you know, people will remember how they were looked after during this time and what the company culture is like, and it will have a big impact in terms of, I think, when things get back to a bit more normality, you know, people, you know, wanting to stay with the business, but also how company can attract staff as well if they've got that real positive culture.
So finally, what sort of advice would you give to startups and founders and small businesses looking forward to 2021 and hopefully a life beyond coronavirus?
So I think that, you know, one bit of advice would be, before we enter 2021, is to stop and have a bit of a refresh and take some time out, particularly for founders, because this has been such a turbulent year, you know, a year like no other. So before, you know, we perhaps like make so many plans for 2021 and don't pause, I think it's a crucial time as we approach the end of the year to choose some time. Maybe it's over Christmas or whenever works, just to, as I say, stop and refresh, you know, take a look around, establish what's gone on this year and recharge and reset, ready for next year. And I suppose then looking forward to 2021. And obviously, I'm a little bit biased here, but, you know, I would say, you know, give some consideration to employee wellbeing if it hasn't been something that you've done during this time. And the reason I say that, because for a startup and for, you know, for a small growing business, it's easy now to weave that culture and that importance on the well-being of your staff into the fabric of your organization while it's small and growing. And, you know, we've talked about some of the benefits of that. You know, it helps to attract the best people, and it can help to retain some of your prized staff. So it's easier to do it now as you're growing rather than when you get to a, you know, a bigger size. And, you know, perhaps there are already, you know, negative elements of culture creeping in. So the earlier you can do that and sort of ingrain that into your business, I think the better. So that would be one thing, you know, I would encourage startups and founders to do in 2021.
I agree. And you may be biased, but I'm not. And I think definitely this year, if one thing, one positive can come from it, it is talking about mental health more and well-being within each other, not just within your business, but like everyone is looking out for each other more. So I think that is really nice. But yes, well, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. And we could talk all day, but that is all we have got time for. So thank you very much, Matthew. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Hopefully speak to you soon.
Serial Entrepreneur.